Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah. Thanks for tuning in to our show today. We don't have Miss Kelly here today. Therapist Kelly is in Hawaii, but co-hosting with me on her behalf is our sponsor, Kim Gold. Hey, Kim.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm happy to be here.
Yes, and your business manager partner, what do we call Derek LaSala?
What do we call
Who are you,
Derek?
I do a lot of what you call business affairs.
Affairs.
I handle all the affairs.
Okay. So we're very excited, thanks. And just want to do a little quick rundown, too, of last week's show. We had Dr. Gil Kajiki, and he is a leading thyroid expert, and he talked to us about Hashimoto's disease and thyroid and how difficult it is to actually get the correct diagnosis. So fascinating guest.
That's a big thing, thyroid. I think a lot of women and men have an issue with it and don't even know.
Absolutely. And he went through about 9 different triggers that are not thyroid disease, but just completely resemble thyroid disease. So he has this whole institute called the Valley Thyroid Institute in San Fernando Valley.
I'm so interested
and
in that.
I mean, it was amazing. So check that out. Yeah. Okay. Without further ado, today has an amazing guest, and I know Kelly is just so disappointed that she's not here, but she is in Hawaii. Today, we have Holly Robinson Pete joining us in studio. Welcome to our show.
Yay. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I brought my fans with me.
We're big
fans. My entourage.
And if anybody would like to give us a call, please do so at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. But if you're not able to listen live, you'll hear us on iTunes or any of those other wonderful ways that people get to listen in. So, all right, I'm so excited. Now, tell us a little bit of the backstory between you, Kim, and Holly. You two have been friends for forever.
I mean, Holly's my bestie. So we've known each other, well, since we're only 20, let's see.
Well, put it this way, we've known each other since we're 13.
Yeah, 13. And
maybe
so that's 7 years.
Yeah,
11.
There you go.
Since junior high.
Which junior high school.
You know, a.k.a. middle school. That we've known each other for a very, very long time and have been friends for forever.
Yeah. Wow. That, Malibu High School.
Yeah.
That hard place, middle school, right?
Yeah.
Can be so mean. I have a great friend that I still have from middle school, too, as a matter of fact.
I don't have that many friends from middle school. Yeah. Just, you know, Kim and maybe like 2, maybe 1.5 other people. But you're right. That's a crazy time. And when I look at my 4 kids and what middle school was for them, it's a difficult transition, especially with social media.
Well, we didn't have, I mean, we didn't even have cell phones.
We had notes. We passed around notes.
Got in trouble most of the
time. Are you going to hang out with me this weekend? Check yes or no. Do you like me?
Yes or no.
Or so-and-so likes you.
Are you mad at me?
Yes or no.
Why didn't I keep some of those notes, Kim? Those notes are classic.
I don't know. I think we should start a new trend.
Then we, guess what they still have, though? The fortune teller.
Oh,
you know the
those little
fortune
things
tellers?
Origami things you roll up. Yeah.
With the paper and
you lift it up for a little answer.
Oh my gosh.
Love those.
Still
do
some
those.
Things still are, you know, some things are still here.
That is so much fun. Oh my gosh. So you have a lot to tell us about. You have a brand new show that just debuted, right? For Pete's Sake?
I did. And I just got our ratings over my email, and they were very good, considering that we were up against March Madness, which I understand because we're a big sports family, and we love March Madness. We absolutely love it. And we do brackets and the whole thing. But this year we were so busy with promoting For Pete's Sake that we didn't. And so we did all right. We're on the Oprah Winfrey Network. Mm-hmm. It's a docuseries, a family docuseries. And that's just a reason, you know, a way not to say reality show.
Oh, I was just going to ask
that. Reality
right,
show has such a weird stigma.
Yeah.
And there is no actor. Your drama in your life is real life. I mean, it's not. Yeah. There's nothing staged about it at all. Since I've known you, and I know your 4 children, I consider them my own children, as you know. So it's a big life you have.
It's a big life. It's all over the place. And I think one of the reasons why, because, you know, I really was like, do I want to do a reality show? We were approached probably over the last decade. I'm not even approached, like recruited heavily to do this.
Really?
I don't know why, but apparently there was some sort of big giant net out there for an African-American affluent family and, you know, sort of what they do, right? There was a show on MTV years ago called Run's House, and it was a reality show that I guess the networks and cables have been trying to recreate. And I think Our House is kind of Run's House meets Blackish, the ABC hit that's on there.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a funny
little
show.
Vibe.
That's a funny show.
And we felt like we had a platform to speak on some things. And it's the OWN network. There's a level of integrity that we have going in, or we knew we had going in.
Which is hard to find in TV, integrity.
Hard to find in life.
Yes. I mean, the thing about Holly, though, is I know a lot of women in business. I know a lot of mothers. But I have never met, and I tell you this all the time, it's not like I'm here, you know, needing to talk you up, because I don't. But I do think that you are probably one of the hardest working women I've ever met.
Oh, well, thank you.
But you know that. I mean, you have four kids, two are twins, and I mean, I have three in college. We're almost the same age, and you still have a little one.
And I come over to her house to just feel what the air's like without kids. You know, just to breathe that unencumbered air.
Yes.
Oh, it's so goodness. Fabulous. But this one works hard too, right? So she's an entrepreneur. She's built herself up. She's done so much. She wrote an amazing book. I think Kim Mutually is one of the people I look up to, and I go, wow, I want to be like her. Like, she's somebody who's really got it going on. And I want a Derek. I want someone to handle my affairs.
Everybody
still
wants
searching.
A Derek.
Everybody
still
needs a Derek.
Still searching.
It is. If I couldn't do my life without Derek.
Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate that.
We all definitely need a Derek.
It's good, though. But, you know, I think the thing about that is finding the right chemistry between the people that you work with, and then it just all is seamless. And I think that, you know, Kim and I have a great chemistry. We both are on the same page. And then knowing Holly for as many years as I have, you know, I mean, I'm amazed at how she does it all.
Seriously.
It really is amazing. I mean, juggling all of that, keeping her composure, and being able to be in the limelight like that, that's a tough job.
I'm so glad I came today.
No, but it's true.
Is your head growing?
No, it's actually staying right where it is.
That's a great thing, though. You're so humble about
it. Shrunk already.
Yeah.
It shrunk from the drama of today. And then now it's back to normal.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Yeah, well, you are an amazing woman. I was reading some of the background on you because I don't know you personally, so it's hard to find all the, you know, little snippets about you that, you know, what are true, what aren't true. But tell our listeners, mostly true.
The good stuff.
All the good stuff, yeah. Of course. So you started as an actress as a young child.
Yes, I was a four-year-old child in Philadelphia. My father got a new job at some new children's show called Sesame Street. And it was like,
Sesame Street?
What is that, Dad? Well, it's kind of like a children's show that takes place on your block, like our block in Philly. I was like, well, good luck with that.
Did it do well?
I don't know.
Sesame.
Somebody Google it.
Sounds familiar.
So he played a character called Gordon, right?
Yeah.
So at a young age, I wanted to be, you know, perform and be in show business. Right. You know, I just did, right? But my dad didn't like that. He didn't want to nurture that. So everybody on my block got to go up to New York and be on Sesame Street, except Gordon's daughter. So I begged, I pleaded, I finally got on. I had one line, and I blew my one line. I was supposed to say, hi, Gordon, but I kept saying, hi, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy.
How cute. Yeah. But he was right. The minute I saw that little street and that big bird and them cameras, I was like, oh, yeah, this feels right. Dad was like, I knew I shouldn't have brought her. And from there on, I just, you know, they got, my dad and mom got divorced. My mom drove us cross country to Malibu, where I met Kim. Mm-hmm. She didn't have, you know, two nickels to rub together, but she had a hustle and vibe and everything Kim's saying about me, like, we got from our moms, you know, our moms were hustlers and made it happen. And yeah, and then ended up later on getting a show called 21 Jump Street and having a
really, that sounds familiar too.
Really good like run, like in the 80s and 90s as an actor. I was like, what's the whole thing about people struggling in acting? Like I was like,
you were the golden
child. I was balling for a while, like 80s and 90s. I had Jump Street and then Hang with Mr. Cooper. So through those two decades, it was great. And then the next decade, I had a pilot here, a pilot. I was always getting pilots, but there was only maybe two or three stuck. One called For Your Love, which was a show that was amazing, but not a lot of people saw. Cut to, I meet a guy, I marry him, I have four kids. And
he's an NFL former football player.
Right? Used to be a quarterback.
A guy. She met
this random guy.
A guy.
The random guy, football player, really wasn't interested.
How did you meet him?
At a nightclub right here in LA.
Which one?
It was one of those, it was called R&B Live. It was one of those traveling little nightclubs. In other words, they had it at different places every week. And there was an R&B singer on the stage. And, you know, I thought Rodney was cute, but I was like, you know what? I'm not trying to be no groupie football player girlfriend.
Or cheerleader.
Yeah, I was looking for a lawyer.
Yeah.
Or a nice doctor.
Yeah.
And I got a football player. But so anyway, we met. He proposed to me on the set of Hang With Mr. Cooper. It was a pretty amazing proposal. And we've been together ever since. That was 20 years ago.
Wow. Who was he playing for?
He was playing for, he started out, he was drafted, he was a big quarterback here in Los Angeles at University of Southern California.
Okay.
So if you are in LA area and you're familiar with Southern Cal, Rodney Pete was like, he was the guy.
He was the MOC,
he was the cat, right?
Yeah.
I was off doing 21 Jump Street at the time and loved sports, but didn't know who he was. And then he got drafted by the Detroit Lions, and he went on to play for 16 years for a lot of other teams. Including the Eagles, and he ended up with the Carolina Panthers. So, long, long career, great guy, great dad, very involved, and, you know, we're still here. And now, apparently, people say, well, how do you stay together? And that was one of the sort of underlying reasons why we wanted to talk about, you know, doing a show.
I was going to say, well, then, to get those answers, you've got to watch for Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake. On the own network. For Pete's sake, watch for Pete's sake.
And
9,
you know,
and TiVo Central.
TiVo.
So DVR. DVR.
DVR.
That's the generic version for TiVo.
Oh, DVR.
Yeah, we don't want to leave out the people that don't have TiVos.
Oh, my God, that's true. I'm so sorry.
I know. It's like Kleenex. Everybody does it.
DVR.
So, for Pete's sake, it's been fun so far. Only been a week. Kim was at we had a little backyard barbecue party.
A little backyard. It was, really? I walked in. They had, oh my gosh, the food, mac and cheese, fried chicken.
Low-cal.
I mean, it was, they had more different kinds of cupcakes. I was like,
Did you have the banana pudding? See, you're such a good eater. You probably
didn't
have it.
No, but I did have the mac and
pear cobbler. Did you have
that? No, didn't have that. But I had mac and cheese.
Yeah.
So I imagine that John Sally was not present, or he would have taken all.
Oh yeah,
how is
a good friend with?
Yeah,
John,
you know what? We should have invited Sal.
We had him on two weeks ago.
Oh, did you? He's awesome. So he used to work with Rodney. They were on Best Damn Sports Show. Period on Fox Sports, and great guy, and but he's a little bit of an obnoxious vegan.
Kim said, "You got to step away from the shopping cart. Do not go shopping."
No, I ran into John.
He's like, "Gold, what are you doing here in the valley?" I'm like, "Well, I moved out here, and I didn't want to run into you in the market, so I didn't tell you." So he's looking at my food. I'm making homemade chicken soup for the kids, right? And he's like, "Don't you know you can't cook with chicken? You can't do." I'm like, "Step away
from the cart."
Really?
Yeah. He's the vegan police, and
he's the vegan police.
It's a little bit much, but we know he means well, and he's helped a lot of people.
Oh,
he has.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Great guy. We had a lot of fun with him on the show. But I was just thinking of that because when you told me about the shopping cart thing, I'm thinking he was at this party.
No, Sal wasn't there. And had he talked about the fried chicken, I'd have had to kick him out.
Oh no,
because that chicken was so good.
No, that was there was hot wings. Was there hot wings?
There was a chopped barbecue.
A chopped barbecue,
and then there were like barbecue winglets. You know, catfish, fried catfish.
Okay. Oh, I had the fried. Yeah. Oh, I had the catfish.
Yeah. So we had a few people over,
like 100.
In our Encino backyard
with like major screens. It was so
cool. We rented one of those backyard screens that blow up.
So everybody could watch the show.
Yeah.
Oh, how fun!
So, and we invited the crew because the crew of a reality show. Let me just say this because you know I come from scripted TV and I didn't know anything for this reality stuff, right? And it's a different type of crew. Why? Because they're in your house. mm-hmm. and they disappear quite scarily because, you know, they're there 1 minute and you're all, sweetie, will you take the trash out? And you're all smiling, glinting at the camera. Cut to, you know, they disappear, right? You forget. And then, I said, take the damn trash out. Then you just get all mean mama on them because you forget.
Yeah,
right,
that they're there.
You forget. So yeah. there, but I was saying that we didn't get a chance to have a wrap party, if you will. Mm-hmm. So bringing everyone there to see the final product was really nice. Yeah. You feel like they're a family.
That's got to be really weird to have all those people in your space. I mean, I was filming. Remember, I was doing a reality thing. I forgot that I had the mic on,
mm-hmm.
and I said some stuff that mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't have mm-hmm. about whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you shit asshole or something like that.
Gosh, I wish you'd get out of the... she's bugging me, you know, uh-huh. or something.
And they could hear you.
And you know what's funny about that, Kim? Is that Roman, who is my 11-year-old, right? My baby. He's now like... he was the one saying, Mom, are you mic'd? You know, like, because he would see me get ready to cut somebody out. He's like, Mom. So, and what's ironic about that is, you know, Kim talked to you a lot. It is weird waking up with 35 people in your house. Although I did like that little coffee they got me from Coral Tree.
I know.
Gave it to me at my bedroom door, mind you.
Wow. I spoke to you a couple times. It was like maybe 6:30, 7 o'clock. You're like, hold on, Kim. I'll be right down.
Yeah, there's an AD knocking at my door.
Yeah.
But he did have my flaxseed muffin and my caramel latte.
A couple years ago, I did a show called Raising Sextuplets as the therapist, the family therapist, and I spent days with them so that they could let me see what their lives were actually like and all of that. And I was thinking how intrusive that would be to have these camera people and people following you all day
long.
That's
a lot of kids.
That is a lot of kids. Here's what I told my kids the night before, you know, this is not your house. This is a set, you know.
For now.
Come downstairs, be ready to go, say good morning to everyone, be professional, and just do you, right? And and then after, that was just talking to Rodney. Then I had to go to the other kids. No, because Rodney was, and also my husband was having a hard time with the learning curve. And so was my mom. My mom is 80, over, too much personality, right?
Uh-huh.
And she's so dynamic that we're just like, do you, Mom? But the minute they gave her some direction, like in this scene, Dolores, your grandkids are drawing out their ideas for what they want for your new tattoo. My mom's been getting tattoos since she's 75.
Oh, my. That's awesome.
We call them gramp stamps.
Gramp stamps. I love it.
So the kids are like writing, you know, drawing stuff. And she has three things to do in the scene. Talk about what they're doing. Talk about where they got to go next. And then let's get out of here. She couldn't do it. It made her and she came up with some strange accent. I said, Mom, you're not Lena Horne. What is this accent? She kept saying, come here, Roman. All of a sudden, the camera pointed at her, and she became Lola Falana.
Let me tell you about her mom. Her mom, I have to say, is pretty incredible. We went on her 70th birthday. Okay, I came from Malibu.
10 years ago.
Downtown, it was raining. And all of a sudden, it was a 70s theme. Okay? Now, it's great and whatever. And all of a sudden, I hear Stevie Wonder singing Happy Birthday to Ya, to Dolores on her 70th birthday. I didn't know Stevie Wonder was going to be... Stevie Wonder!
Yeah. Wow. Because usually you have to break out in that soul clap and sing it yourself, but Stevie was there.
Stevie Wonder.
And that was it. Oh. My mom is a pretty dynamic person.
How precious.
She's learning how to be herself on television. Without the accent, Derek.
I have to see that. I love Dolores.
She
is an amazing woman. Amazing. I absolutely love her.
Did she ever get into acting when she was younger?
No. So she came out here. We drove to Malibu. Yeah. Two nickels to rub together, nothing. And she built herself a career as a talent manager.
Oh.
Her first client was LeVar Burton on the eve of Roots. So that was, you know, a big deal. She was Kunta Kinte's manager. And she built herself up from there and went on to manage everyone from Pierce Brosnan to Martin Sheen to, you know, Rosie Perez. I mean, she's
everybody knew
pretty
everybody.
Phenomenal, yeah. You know, actress, talent
manager
in the 80s and 90s. Amazing lady. But every now and then, because she would be on set with the client and she has this dynamic personality, they would ask her to do a little, you know, a little
something
cameo, right?
Right.
So in the Jim Jones story, the Guyana tragedy. LeVar was in it, and like two of our other clients, like three clients, were Powers Booth. She was representing Powers Booth, who played Jim Jones.
Oh, yeah, yeah, man.
So they needed someone to play the first person to drink the Kool-Aid and die. And there's Dolores.
Raising her hand.
Arms in hand. Little accent. Dad, you need me to drink this Kool-Aid. You were the only one that cared about me, Dad. If you want me to drink this Kool-Aid, I will. And she drank the Kool-Aid and curled up it. And died. And why did I show the kids that? They've been traumatized ever since.
I'll never forget the time your mom showed me her first tattoo, her butterfly. We have the same exact butterfly in the same exact position on our in the same area in our body. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's a nice ass.
Yeah.
So she put down her pants and she showed me her butterfly.
Yeah.
Listen.
Rodney gets to see that every time she's gardening. It's really disturbing.
So how many days a week is the camera crew with you?
So they're there. We did a 6-day shoot. It was Monday through Saturday.
It's a long time.
Wow.
And you know what? If we get picked up, it's like a muscle, you know. When we get picked up, it's like you find your groove. And I think we were just finding it around episode. We shot eight episodes.
Okay.
So I want to say around episode 6-7, we were starting to go, okay, this doesn't have to be. This could be a little bit. We could move this faster once you sort of learn the groove. But in the end, you know, the good news was Oprah Winfrey Network they're so on it over there. I'm telling you, the level of class and quality. All you got to do is walk into their. Kim, I got to take you to their offices.
Oh, I'm there.
Because
I
you
go,
have,
be great.
I'm taking you next time I go. Because Kim has such a designer's eye, interior designer's eye, and you will flip when you see how they design this place.
Really?
And it's on the screen, too. You can just tell the way they do things. Mm-hmm. And so even the post-production process, all of it was really, really good. And we were allowed to be executive producers, which I think you have to be if your kids are on camera.
Sure. Neat.
Yeah.
What would you say is the primary message of the show, if you could?
I would say, you know, togetherness, unity. There's humor. There's heart. There's intention. It's an intentional show. You know, we have, yes, we're privileged, you know, we're a celebrity family with, if you will, a Hollywood family, but we're really not very Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my kids go to school with all those young influencers that have zillions of followers. And
I mean, come on, your kids are friends with Chris Rock. I mean, please, come on, Hollywood, you got, let me tell you, I had Holly's 50th birthday at my house in Malibu. Okay, we had In Vogue perform. It was Black Hollywood.
It was Black Hollywood.
Oh,
it was.
I mean,
but what I'm saying is, and listen, I'm as Hollywood as they come. I'll be the first to say it. But my kids, having been raised in this environment, are still so grounded, and I'm not really sure why. I'm not really sure why, but they are. Even though they have friends
because of
that
you,
are the.
Holly. Because of you.
Yeah. People in, you know these young people around here I'm talking about, right, in Hollywood. And they're all on social media, and they're doing this, and they're selling lipstick and all that stuff. The reality is that my kids are sort of the anti-version of that, and that showed up on screen. And I think that was interesting because people were thinking, oh, it's going to be the black Kardashians. And the kids were anything but that.
Well,
and
we
have a special needs son, too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, are you comfortable talking to our audience about some of the challenges?
Well, am I?
Are you ever?
Because I was going to say.
Have you met me?
Do you want a second microphone, maybe?
yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, Holly... I think the biggest one of the biggest reasons is that your kids are so down to earth is because you have this huge heart as far as your, well, with everything, but you do Design Care and Hollyrod. I mean, it's every year you raise funds for your own charity. Your kids are involved. They see you giving back. And we talked about this. I mean, Holly was at my house last weekend and her daughter Ryan is accepted to NYU.
Neat, congratulations.
And we actually had
another job.
We have conversations. I mean, Ryan, she's not looking at her phone. Mm-hmm. We're having conversations. So there's a lot. I mean, when you say you don't know why, come on.
Well, I would only say yes. You know, kids do as they do as you do, not as you say. You could tell them all day long, you know, do this, do that. But if they don't see you doing it. Mm-hmm. So like Kim said, we do involve them in our charity work. And they, and then cut to, they're on the stage like, hey, right? So they're
every
like,
year,
I don't want to do
every
it.
Year.
Cut to, they're like, what song are you coming down to? So they see us giving back. They know the importance. They see the impact our foundation has on children affected by autism they see the immediate impact. They go with us to open up our RJ's places around the country, and they know what it is that to be giving back and charity and service and all that. Because one day somebody's going to have to take over Holly Rod, and this foundation, you know, is something that they've grown up with. But my son with special needs is another, I think, he sort of branded the family a little bit. So he's kind of the guy that brings us together because we're mm-hmm. Team RJ. So everybody's got to be there for him. I think that has also defined us as a family.
When did he get diagnosed with autism?
When he was three.
Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
Well, I knew it too. And his father and his pediatrician were deeply into denial. Mm. Oh, he's a boy. He has a twin sister. Oh, don't compare him to her. He's a boy. He's going to, you know, we heard all the cliches. But I was like, he stopped doing things. He ceased to make eye contact, you know, point at things, connect with his twin sister, just like, and talk.
So he started out with those behaviors and then they...
No, he started out hitting his milestones, normal milestones, uh-huh. saying his first words and everything. And then like a needle on a record scratch, he stopped developing.
Hmm.
He's like, he just time stopped. It was very weird.
Was that scary for you?
Oh my God, it was terrifying.
I bet.
Yeah, it was terrifying.
What were some of the thoughts that went through your mind when you were sensing that?
Sensing that he was going through something. I didn't know. I was a rookie mom. Mm-hmm. I had twins. I already had my hands full. I was working full time. Rodney was away playing football. I didn't really have time to think about it. I'm like, what's happening here? And I didn't know anybody impacted by autism. Mm-hmm. I'm an educated woman. I didn't know anybody. I didn't even know what autism was. I didn't know there was a spectrum. Nothing.
Sure.
So me, with all the resources and things I had, the fact that I would... you know, be impacted by this disorder but didn't have any information, scared the mess out of me because I'm a doer. I'm a fixer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? What do you mean I can't fix this? What? So that was hard. But early on, we learned that the earlier you intervene and the earlier you get a diagnosis, the better your kid has a chance to be more, you know, comfortable in the world.
Did he get all of the special services available through LA Univite, or did you send him in a different direction?
We did both.
Uh-huh.
I got a little frustrated with LA Univite because I felt like they, you know, a therapist would say, oh, RJ needs 20 hours of speech. And then you sit down in your IEP meeting and they tell you, oh, we're only going to give him 8.
IEP, by the way, is Individualized Education Plan, in case somebody isn't part of that system.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, an acronym that can just bring it to your knees sometimes. Anybody
eye.
Who's had an IEP out there, y'all know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, it's so funny. I did just random, and I don't know why I'm thinking about him. Well, I do know why I'm thinking about him, because I can't turn on any radio without hearing his name. But Donald Trump, I was on Celebrity Apprentice with him, and people are like, gosh, you did so well in the boardroom. I'm like, honey, after all them IEP meetings, that little Donald Trump didn't scare me at all. So IEP is something that, as special needs parents, we all understand. So I did go through that system and the regional centers and all of that, but I got quite frustrated because I felt like they kept cutting, you know, services and cutting hours that kids desperately needed. And then we were doing the Holly Rod Foundation because we knew that families needed auxiliary services. So we tried to help amplify that.
So tell us some more about the Holly Rod Foundation.
Well, we started the foundation early on because my dad from Sesame Street had Parkinson's disease, and he got it when he was in his 40s, his mid-40s.
Oh, dear.
I know,
that's
it sucked. Tough. I mean, because it was the 80s. We didn't have Google. We didn't have Michael J. Fox or Muhammad Ali. There was Parkinson's was like neurological and incurable. I remember going to the library.
The library.
Remember that? At
what
Sarah
is that?
Lawrence College. Remember the Dewey Decimal System?
Yes.
I went in there, a little point. Like, how do we find this stuff? Like Thomas guides. What were we doing?
The little card.
Right.
Catalog,
the little card. Right. Microfiche. Remember right. Microfiche? So I'm at Sarah Lawrence College, and I'm like looking up Parkinson's, and all I saw was neurological and incurable.
Yeah.
This is like 85, 84. And he was a writer, producer on The Cosby Show at the time. He had this great gig, and he was just like his whole livelihood was being sucked out of him. It was mm-hmm. awful. And we realized that other families were impacted by Parkinson's, didn't have resources. So that's where we started. But then when autism came along, we knew we had to expand our mission.
You have been through a lot, lady. A
yeah.
lot. My goodness.
Well, you know, I mean, and then one of the, everybody has, right? We all have.
So I know, like, but Holly, you do something to bring awareness. People have issues and they have family members that have whatever's going on. But what you've done is that you've changed it to bring awareness and try to get funding and any like the schools for, you know, autism. Mm-hmm. And one time you were at the house in Malibu so long ago, the twins were really, they were pretty young, and RJ came in and was, everyone was in the pool, all my boys and everybody. I have never seen, Holly just picked up RJ, calmed him down because he was having, you know, one of his fits. He's incredible. He's an incredible kid. Yeah, you know how much I love these
kids.
He's
a great kid. No, he's
and
a
he's
love.
Gorgeous.
How old is he now?
He's 18.
Gorgeous.
Oh, so he's fully, yeah.
He's a man. Grown man. You'll see him. He's all, listen, if you look long enough out here on this boulevard, you might see him walking. Because he has walked all of Encino to Sherman Oaks to North Hollywood. He goes to, he just likes to get out. You know, he likes to take the bus. You know, he likes to explore, and we worry about him, right? Mm-hmm. We all worry about kids, autism or not. But because he has a different way of processing, you know, cues
data
and things,
yeah, sure.
But he has to get out. He's like, I'm like, where are you? I'm at an Indian restaurant. Okay. Where? In Burbank. I'm like, okay.
How did you get there?
Right? Oh, yeah. He's like, I took the bus, but now he's been Ubering. That's the issue. We can't even listen, not even go there. Got my Uber bill the other day. I said, I can have two car payments already. These kids. And nobody's in a hurry to get a driver's license. What is that?
I know. Ryan, she's
oh, honey. She's like, I'll just Uber. I'm like,
no.
Yeah, but that's not your credit card connected to the Uber.
Well, I have something to be said about Uber, because my kids were driving in Malibu, started at 16 driving, and I was like, I just want to get a driver for them.
Okay, that's a different take.
Yeah, because it's not so much the kids driving. Mm-hmm. It's the people that I'm afraid of, who are racing around and jumping out of, you know, this, you know, like in Malibu, you know, they don't, is this Ventura Boulevard now?
Yeah.
Thinking, if my kids were driving Ventura Boulevard right now,
yeah, it's a motor speedway.
No, it's not okay.
No.
So
no, I get that. I can, and I see it. I see the value in it. I just, when I was 15 and 3/4, I spent the night at the DMV to get my license. And so this whole concept of, oh, I'll wait, oh, I'll Uber, I'm like, that was freedom. I got into my Honda Civic and my little CB radio. I had a CB radio.
I love it. Did you talk to the truckers?
I was like a big band this year, a rubber duck. I was like, what am I doing with a CB radio? I never had any reception. It was so random. But I had my car.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was going to go places and go see my boyfriend in Santa Monica.
Oh, yeah. It used to be on your birthday, your actual 16th birthday.
Yes.
You know, your parents
were going
to take you.
It was a rite of passage.
Wow, it was huge. I know there's so many adolescents now that have no interest, but that's also because the parents just completely indulge them in taking them everywhere because they want to be hyper-involved and everything. You know, there's a balance, I think.
There is a balance, but I think
Uber's
a good balance.
That's exactly what it is, hyper-involved.
I think.
And, you know, when you're talking about, too, a 16-year-old on the road, like, we're all seasoned drivers now. And when you look back, though, at a 16-year-old, your average 16-year-old is going to get into a wreck within the first 6 months.
Oh, absolutely.
Just completely. So it's not even that they're not cautious or conscientious. You cannot have that skill set.
Well, your frontal lobe,
see behind your head and do all that.
Exactly right. Your frontal lobe,
it's fully developed.
You should be 18.
25.
And then distracted driving is a whole thing that we didn't have to deal with.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, the most distracted you were was eating some French fries and putting on your mascara.
Right.
And pushing in that little A-track.
And yelling at your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Sitting next to you, who was too lame to get his license.
Because you weren't on the phone, right?
You
weren't on the phone. You weren't checking your whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a whole other world now. So there's part of me that wants her to drive, but like Kim said, there's also a part of me that's like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do?
Sure.
So she's off to New York where she doesn't have to drive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So RJ, does he have certain special needs now as he's an adult? Like what's required?
He's you know, he has a lot of anxiety. Mm-hmm. He's got OCD. When they go into adolescence, it's another level for autism. And no one talks about it. And actually, we just wrote a book, myself and my twins, called Same But Different, Teen Life on the Autism Express.
Oh, wow.
And that's out now. So everybody go check it out, Same But Different. And essentially, it's a really great book. It's for young readers, like preteen and maybe 13, 14. And it's really easy narrative. So it talks about this fictional twins, and essentially what their teen life is like. So one sibling has autism, one doesn't. So RJ character is a Charlie. His name is Charlie. And his sister's Callie. And essentially, they talk about everything from social media to dating to school to you name it. All the typical things that are provide so much stress for young people.
Sure.
But with autism, his lens is different.
Yep.
And so her sort of saying, oh, every time he's over, my girlfriends don't want to hang around, or they ask me about, you know, little stuff like that. And her, and then he says, you know, I don't want to hang out with them girls anyway. So it's like, you see his point of view. So we're really proud of this book, and we're hoping that a lot of people get it, because we have never seen any really tangible books on autism and adolescence. And that's, it happens as the kids grow up.
It sure does. So, did he ever have a girlfriend or a boyfriend?
No.
Rihanna.
Well, Rihanna is his girlfriend in his mind. And she's my girlfriend, too, and in my mind, too, with her cute self. So, I mean, we all love Rihanna. But the good news is he does have a, like, sort of love for her, right? Like we all did. I had mine growing up. We all had our teenage, you know, fantasy people. But he's actually met her. And she was so lovely, sweet to him. She's very good with, and you never know, especially in this town, when they meet their Hollywood, you know, crush, is it going to be that sad trombone moment? Or is it going to be like,
they lived
up to everything you thought, and Rihanna was everything. So he doesn't have a girlfriend. He doesn't really know how to approach girls, you know? Mm-hmm. He doesn't have that. And so that's, and he, like Kim said, like, he is my son, but he is a good looking boy. Like, I'm saying, like he is good looking. He did, in one of the episodes of For Pete's Sake coming up, he goes to a modeling agency and does some pictures.
Oh, my God. Gorgeous.
Wow. He doesn't even know. When he cracks an angle, and the camera just sucked him up. And so we get to reveal those later on For Pete's Sake.
Oh, wow. You just reminded me of a funny story about my Hollywood crush. So I was 12 years old with my friend Stacy, who lived on my same block, and we were in the mall. Still, the Topanga Plaza Mall.
Wow.
Here, right? That's how, yeah, we used to ride our bikes.
Wow.
No, the Woodland Hills, yeah.
Oh, the Woodland Hills one.
Woodland Hills Mall. We'd ride our bikes there and stuff. So we were in, they had this store called Spencer's. It was
Spencer's
kind of,
Gifts.
Yes.
Like love gag Spencer. Gifts.
Oh, love that store.
Yes, yes.
Love Spencer's.
So we're standing in Spencer's, and in walks in Kirk Russell, who was, you know, the guy from the computer who wore tennis shoes. That was his, because he was a teen actor at
that's
the time.
That's right. That's right.
So this is a long time ago.
Kurt Russell. I don't know. I heard Kirk. I'm like, Kirk Russell, Goldie Hawn's.
Goldie Hawn's guy.
Yeah. I just watched him in Hateful Eight yesterday. He's still fine.
Oh, so we mustered up the courage. Like, it took, we were giggling. We were like so excited. We just couldn't do it. We finally found a piece of paper and we had a pen and we walked up and we said, you know, and our stupid little 12-year-old adorable little girl said, can we please have your autograph? And he like smirks at us and he says, I don't give autographs. And I'm like, mother jerk.
Really?
Like crushed our hearts. Just crushed our hearts. So
I just tell you that is so disappointing. And you know
that
what?
Is so disappointing.
Like, there's no reason in the world. Listen, I've been on a few shows and people know me, but there's no reason in the world. And even if you don't want to sign up, there's a way to say it and do it that you don't crush people's dreams.
Oh, it was
if
awful.
Rihanna had done that to my son, he would never have recovered.
Yes, it was
and
terrible.
Instead, she stopped, made eye contact, connected.
Aww.
There's something that's missing. There's a chip that's missing.
There's got to be.
Those stories make me crazy. They really do.
He wasn't even all that at the time. He was the computer who wore tennis shoes.
He wasn't even all that. You know, right? Imagine now.
You know how many times we've been out, Holly and I have been out, and people rush to get her autograph? And one time, remember? Yeah, and I still, because it's so funny. Someone asked me if I was her bodyguard.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like,
oh, my gosh.
Really?
Yeah.
No. But
And there's this, just, it takes so much effort to be mean and nasty.
Oh, that's so true.
I mean, someone like quantified it. Some scientists, like, what you have to do in order to physically turn someone away or be mean or shut them down takes so much more than just saying, oh, thank you for being a fan. Of course I'll take a picture. You know, there are situations like when I'm walking with my kids in airports and somebody wants me to, like, you know, take a selfie or whatever. I'm like, I can't. My kids are here. But there's a way you can say
sure,
it.
Absolutely.
And the way you can do it that you just don't, you know. And I've had people walk up to me going, I remember seeing you in Chicago in 1988 and you came with the Johnny 21 Jump Street cast and you and Johnny Depp were standing. I'm like, oh, God, I hope I was nice. I hope I was nice. And then she's like, and you took a picture with me and you were so nice. I'm like, woo! But, you know, there's no reason not to be.
Well, there are perks because we were in Philadelphia and we had a meeting out there and we went into this Philly cheese steak place,
that's right.
And they saw her and there was a line and we got to go in front.
I treated Kim to her very first Philadelphia cheese steak.
Yes.
And yes, because our picture was on the wall.
Yeah, well, Holly's picture was on the wall.
Well, I'm from Philly too, so and my husband played for the Eagles. I mean, it was all a whole Philly thing. So I was like, I'm gonna take Kim get her first cheesesteak. So I'm not a cheesesteak.
Kim, you're not a nobody. So don't you get noticed too when you're out?
No, I would never get noticed. First of all, Holly knows me. I'm a very behind the scenes person.
Okay.
I don't like speaking in front of people. I don't like what I get most noticed for is when I'm walking with my sisters because you know I'm an identical triplet.
Yes. Oh,
and
adorable.
it makes me shiver. I'm, you know.
Well, so. When I first met Kim, I had never met triplets in my life. Like that was like you know, pretty amazing. And I know that for her, it was probably like this freak show because it was like, oh, where's your triplet? I want to. Oh, do you guys ever do? I mean, you know, endless. Cliches on top of cliches, and there I was asking all the same questions, you know. But I mean, it was the first time I'd ever met triplets. I'd never met mm-hmm. them before, and I was like, "This is so cool."
Mm-hmm. Could you tell them all apart when you first met them?
When I first met them, no, but very soon after, like right now, like they're to me, they look like
very distinct.
They look like three different people.
Yeah, they do. Totally.
But even back then, you know, something about when you go to school with them. And I grew up across the street from identical twins in Philadelphia. That was the other reason why I was fascinated because I grew up next to the Amy and Linda Goldberg. They were my first twins, and then I come and
you got triplets.
Yeah, and I'm like, what's going on? Kim is an amazing person, and she is a force of nature.
Yes, she is.
And she is somebody that has built and identified and refined, you know, who she is over the years. Her book is so good because it just is one of those books that, you read a book about your girlfriend, you think you know certain things. And I learned so much about her fortitude and what she's pushed through in life. And, you know, she's a really amazing person. And I'm just so glad that it's so fun to have someone in your life that knew you like before you had boobs, when you just had a flat chest.
Before you had a check.
Like before you had anything. Like, you just didn't have nothing. Yeah. You just had bus fare.
Yeah, because that's the funny thing. Holly has a lot. I mean, this is true. I mean, this is real honest stuff. Holly has a lot of friends around her that are very Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I always wonder, are some of these people around Holly because she's Holly?
See, Kim does this all the time. This is our ongoing thing, right? Because Kim has known me forever.
A long time, yep.
And a lot of these people, a lot of people I've met since I've been in the business, I've been in the business for 30 years. So,
but it's a good question because a lot of celebrities have this.
But almost everybody that is in my corner Hollywood have been the same. I don't have new celebrity friends.
Okay.
They're all the same people from the Fox Network days. We started the Fox Network, me and Tisha Campbell Martin, you know, like, so on Martin and 21 Jump Street.
I'm not talking about those people.
Oh, I don't know which people you're talking about.
I don't know. I just, you know what it is? You have a really good friend of yours, and I love her too.
Yeah.
Who we both look at the people.
Oh, so that you guys, you and Terry have your like little thing.
And we're like this.
You mean how many of those people would really hang out with you if you weren't?
I don't know if it's those. No, she's got some really great people. But then there's people that come to the events, and I gotta go talk to Holly. I gotta go talk to Holly, and I think it's really great. I guess I'm very protective of her. I'm very protective over, you know, her privacy and people, and it's just an odd thing to watch. I think is what it is.
Well, especially because she is such a behind-the-scenes person, and she's never the one to run up to, like, a celebrity and go, oh, my God, can I take a picture with you? Like, she would be the last person. Hosted an event, and there's Pink at her house, right, who's an international superstar, and she's like, hey, think I should take a picture with her? I'm like, yes, it's your house.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's your house. It's she's that person, right? So she's the anti, but yet she's somebody who is a celebrity in her own right. I mean, she's a global phenomenon to me because she has built and created. I mean, the True Religion brand is a global brand that she built from the bottom up.
Oh yeah,
she and is so I mean, just everything about her. Yeah, everything about her is something I aspire to be. But so she's a real rock star. When people, we would go out and I would say, you know, hey, you know, and tell them what Kim did, and people are like, what?
Yeah, we were at this party. It was a Grammy party. Remember that Grammy party?
Yeah.
I mean, there was like everybody.
Yeah.
From Jay-Z to Beyonce. And she goes, well, I'm going to tell them what you do. And I'm like, no. I do. Sometimes I use it.
Yeah.
If I need a reservation.
Sure.
I mean, you know. But it's an interesting thing because I've had a lot of hanger-oners since True Religion became very a prominent company. And it's an interesting thing, and Derek knows this since working with me for over now 3 years. People come and want to be around you so they can get something.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So nothing's for free.
Nothing's for free. And it's hard to find really, really good, honest people who want to be friends for you, for just you. Mm-hmm. Not for what you can do.
Not opportunist.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
Well, I can imagine that there are some great benefits to being famous, and there are some definite downsides to it. Because sometimes, don't you just really wish you had total privacy?
Mm-mm.
No. Oh. Okay. Sorry.
No, because
wrong
you
guess.
Know what? Well, you know why? No. Because you know why? I don't.
I got bills to pay.
My kids are so funny. My kids. Like, so my agents and managers and stuff were like gathering to have a conversation about, let's start doing a campaign to get a Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame because I've got some iconic TV shows and it would be a TV star, right? A TV, you
the
know,
star look, on the, yeah.
On the Hollywood
I
Walk of Fame.
I think that would be
And
amazing.
Deservedly so.
Right. I mean, I've been on every
been
network.
On television
I've been
for
on Forever and I've had some iconic shows. And
who do I have to call?
I'm
going to use my
We're going to get on this campaign right
Let's
now.
Let's do it. So, but this is something that people have we've been talking to me for about 10 years, right? And so it's like, you know, it's a timing, right? You kind of have to have a show happening. It's like, well, so now that For Pete's Sake is on, we're like, well, maybe this is something we'll do. So the kids come to me and go, what are they going to give you a star for? I said, because your mama has done some television work and iconic shows.
That's
and they're
hysterical.
Like, Mom, you're not that popular. Like, you're not, Mom. I was like, well, and then RJ's like, Mom, no. Not like you're Rihanna. I'm like, okay. Okay, you have successfully, you know, made me pump my brakes. No, so my point is that
is so
I don't have, like, I don't ever think of myself as famous. I definitely have had, I know people, there are people that know me. When I go in airports and go through the TSA, oh, it's like, hey, girl. Like, they know me and I know them. I feel like, girl, look at you trying to wear them sunglasses, act like you ain't you when they're looking at my ID and stuff. But, like, so I feel that sense. But
you've been doing it for so long that you're so used to it.
I think it's like a...
Okay. Well, it's nice
like
that you've embraced it. Okay, we are running out of time.
Okay.
We have a couple minutes, but I have one quick question because Kelly told me I have to ask this question. Tell us about my son, Charlie.
My brother, Charlie.
Oh, she wrote my son, Charlie.
That's okay. That's
Your
okay.
Brother?
So my brother, Charlie,
yes,
is the book that I wrote with my daughter, Ryan. I want to say, well, she's 18 now. She was almost 12. 6 or 7 years ago.
Okay.
It's a children's book, an award-winning children's book that we're so proud of. So it's the prequel, if you will, to Same But Different that's out now.
Oh, nice. Lovely.
And it's a picture book. It's beautifully illustrated. And it essentially is to explain what autism is to younger kids. And it came from Ryan, RJ's twin sister, who was at school, and nobody knew what autism was. Mm-hmm. And she said, listen, let's write a book about it. And we did. And so it's about Charlie and Callie, again, those same two characters that go on into mm-hmm. Same But Different.
Nice.
And essentially it's about, you know, autism and compassion and awareness.
That's beautiful. Well, you are a beautiful woman and so lovely to
have
you on the show. And everybody needs to go watch For Pete's Sake.
Saturday night, y'all.
Great show.
DVR.
Network. DVR.
And Kim Gold, our sponsor, our beloved Kim Gold. We just adore you. You've been such a great support for our show, and I know Kelly's really sad that she's not here.
And make sure you get Kim's book, too. Kim's book is out, too.
Gold Standard.
Gold Standard.
How to Rock the World and Run an Empire. This book is called A Front Row Seat to a Huge Upheaval, not only in her own life, but in American business. She is amazing. So everybody get that book, too.
Yeah.
And you can find out more about Kim. She's on our website, too, at docandtherapist.com. And we love your emails, so please send those to docandtherapist@gmail.com. And thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Derek.
It's just a pleasure to be with you ladies all the time.
I just laughed
like crazy the whole time.
Do you have any kind of charity you want to plug real quickly? Is there anything that you want people to...
Oh, well, definitely check out hollyrod.org
to
support families impacted by autism and Parkinson's disease. We are always accepting donations and support from everyone.
Please, please, please donate to Holly Rod.
And I need to say, too, I helped to save a seal this weekend.
Yes,
yes.
So seal number 158, we're going to do a shout out for this little pup that is making it. Ate a pound of fish yesterday.
Yay.
Wonderful.
Right. I think I ate a pound of fish yesterday, too.
One whale at a time.
One whale at a time. All right. Thank you so much. Till next week. Bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.